We're going to continue to talk about miracles. And we're going to continue to talk about healing, part two. Because healing's a pretty big topic. And I asked this question last week. I'm going to ask it again this week. Who's excited that we serve a God of miracles? Isn't it great that we serve a God of miracles? And it's great that he just didn't do the miracles in the Bible, but he does miracles still today, right where we are, right? We serve a working God who does miracles each and every day in front of us. Jesus made lame people walk. Jesus raised people from the dead. Jesus did so many miracles. We read about how some of the disciples did miracle after miracle. And John 14:12 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater than these." So if we believe in Jesus, if we have a relationship with Jesus, what does that tell us? Tells us we can do the same miracles, right? We can pray for people and see them healed. We can pray for the dead and see them raised again. Right? That's what Scripture tells us. Jesus healed the sick. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised others from the dead. We serve a God, like we just sang earlier, who with all things are possible. The impossible is possible with Jesus. Do you believe that? We serve a God who can do exceedingly and abundantly more than you or I could ever ask for. Our God can do that, more than we could even think. More than we could imagine, our God can do that. But I haven't seen it happen, Dave, or we have all sorts of excuses, you know. I've been asking for this, and I've seen this. How does that work? God, I don't get it. God, I've been praying, and I haven't seen it yet. We asked the question last week about who's asked for healing but hasn't seen it yet, right? There's one key word there in that statement, though, isn't there? Yet, exactly. Thank you, John. But we believe there's an inner work happening, do we not? See, here's the thing. We can't always see what's going on. It's like that seed that we plant in the ground, right? The seed of faith, like we talked about a number of weeks ago. We plant the seed knowing that we're going to see some rain, knowing that we're going to see some snow or sun, snow and sun. We know we're going to see moisture. We know we're going to see sun. We know we're going to see heat. We plant that seed in faith, don't we? If we planted that seed and said, okay, well, if Nathan went out and, I can't harp on him today because he's not here, but if Nathan went out and planted his fields and it's like, well, why am I even planting this? I'm just spreading seed around. No, he's planting it with faith that it's going to produce a crop, that it's going to produce something, that it's going to harvest, right? It'd be like, if he's going to just go around and throw seed, why go around at all? He gets 50, how many weeks are in a year? 52 weeks? Instead of having 50 weeks off, he'd get 52 weeks off a year as a farmer, right? No, we know farmers work more than 2 weeks a year. But we plant those seeds in faith. We have faith that God is doing something. Even as soon as it hits the ground, we believe that God is at work, right? And the same happens with us. We may not necessarily see it, but there's things happening. healing doesn't always look like we expect it to look. Healing doesn't always happen in the time that we expect it to happen. And I'm going to tell you something that is controversial to some people. Our God heals. We don't know his timing. We don't know his ways. We don't understand because his ways are higher. But our God heals. As we talked about last week, as long as we have faith the size of a what? The size of a mustard seed, the smallest seed, our God goes to work. We don't understand the timing. We don't understand how it looks. But we have the faith that will produce. I shared some of these scriptures last week. I'm really high leveling this because we're just kind of going and digging a little deeper. If I had 2 hours last week, we could have had it all done in 2 hours. I don't think everybody wanted their roast to burn. So we're going to do it in two parts. 12 years this lady bled. She was ceremonially unclean. Mark 5:34, daughter, your faith has healed you, is what Jesus said to her. There's a man with leprosy. He fell at Jesus' feet and he worshiped him. What did Jesus say? Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. The blind man screams out, have mercy on me, Jesus. Mark 10:52, Jesus says, go. Your faith has healed you. See, when Jesus saw faith, he was always amazed. And I made that statement last week, but I want to now dig deeper into that. Okay? See, I made a statement last week. We can jump a couple slides, Nora. That our faith moves the heart of God. Simple faith, the size of a mustard seed, moves the heart of God. But the thing is, sometimes our faith is really big, isn't it? And sometimes our faith is the mustard seed size. It's really, really small. But the good news is doesn't matter the size of our faith. People will tell you all the time, well, you need more faith. You need more faith. You need more faith. We need the faith the size of a mustard seed and believe that Jesus will go to work. We need to trust that he will do the work and allow the work to happen, allow our faith to grow through that. But we put our faith in Jesus. We don't put our faith in the healing. So sometimes you have this really big faith. Then you have the other times where it's kind of strong, and then you have this time where you're really just struggling to have faith, but you have some faith. So like I say, sometimes our faith will just, our faith always amazes Jesus. But sometimes our faith is just like, you know, Jesus, let me have a good day today. I just need to make it through the day. And I think Jesus sometimes is like, huh, that's all you got, just that little bit. Do you believe I can do anything? And I think Jesus sometimes asks us that. Do you believe I can actually do this? Let's start growing that faith inside of you. And Jesus starts allowing some stuff to happen to grow that faith inside of you, to allow you to see some of that inner workings that's going on inside to be healed, to some of that internal stuff that we don't see. Right? We see stuff happening. Sometimes we don't even see it, but we know because we believe. And as we believe, our faith grows. Just like that seed that we put in the ground. We don't see it happening, do we? Do we ever see that seed grow? Not until it starts sprouting something. Right? I got a couple stories to tell you. There's a story about a Roman centurion. He has a servant that's sick. And this centurion goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house. But Jesus, please just say the word. You don't have to see my servant. You don't have to touch my servant. You don't even have to walk in that direction. And Jesus says the word, and he's healed. And scripture says Jesus was amazed and said, I have never seen faith like this before. You've read this story in the Bible. And Jesus said, I'm amazed. I want us to have that faith that amazes Jesus so much. He's like, wow. Not just small W-O-W, but capital W, capital O, capital W. This wow faith. And I believe Jesus spurs that to grow in us as we walk through life and as we pray and as our faith builds. As that mustard seed inside of us sprouts into something more than just a single seed. Something that amazed Jesus was this powerful, strong faith. Wow! He was amazed. But sometimes we have the wow, the little W, little O, little W faith. And I think sometimes when we have that little W, little O, little W faith, it's kind of a slap in the face to God. It's an insulting faith. Like, really, that's all you believe? Jesus says, ask. We need to grow that wow faith. And that I'm going to really emphasize that wow faith, because either it's going to wake you up or I'm going to get feedback, one or the other. But Jesus says, if there's a mountain in your life, if there's something that needs to be moved, speak it with faith. Simple faith. We don't need to get complex about it, guys. We don't need to get all deep and like, oh, I can really break this down into multiple types of faith. I can break this down into you have this little faith and you have this type of faith and you have this type of faith. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. We just need faith the size of a mustard seed and allow Jesus to go to work however it's going to look. Right? Our faith moves the heart of God. Have you ever prayed for someone to be healed? Have you ever prayed for yourself to be healed or had others pray for you to be healed? And have you ever done it and it just seems impossible? Like, I don't know how this is going to happen. But yet it happens. Doesn't it? Now, there's another side of that story, though, that we haven't seen it happen. What, John? Yet. But we believe by faith that God is at work. There's a time that we were going to go pray when I was younger for somebody to be healed. And at that point, I hadn't seen a lot of miracles yet. And I was going in, and I was driving with a friend. And we were driving along, and I was just like, you know what? I don't know how this is going to happen. Like, we're driving there, and I looked at my friend, and I said, I don't know if I have the faith to see this through. I don't know if I believe necessarily that God's going to do this. I don't have the faith for this. And you know what my friend's response to me? Dave, get it together. No, stop. Do we have mustard seed faith? Do we have mustard seed faith that we're going to see something happen? We're going to see some change start happening. Do we believe, Dave? Then let's hang on to that. And I said, yeah, I got faith for that. I got mustard seed faith. And like the story I shared last week, like about the father who went to Jesus and said, Jesus, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Help build my faith in my unbelief. That's what I had to go in basically saying. So what did we do? We walked in and did exactly like Scripture said, and we anointed that person with oil. And we prayed for them. And we believed with our mustard seed faith that God was going to do a work. Now, I'm going to be honest. Can I be honest with you guys here? We didn't see nothing happen like that. We did not. We did not see anything happen instantly. It wasn't an instantaneous healing. It didn't happen like that. But the person got a little stronger. But the pain that person was in was gone. But they still were dealing through stuff. Are they healed now? No, not yet. This person still has not been fully restored and healed. But we still believe. We agree with the person that the healing process is underway. And we are still continuing to pray in faith. Like I say, sometimes it's a one and done prayer. You walk in and you're like, you got that mustard seed faith. God, please heal so-and-so. And instantly they're healed and they're walking, or the limp is gone, or their legs are the same size, or there's no more back pain, there's no more hip pain, whatever this is. And then sometimes it's this prayer of faith where we continue to pray, we continue to ask God, we continue to believe, right? Because the truth of the matter is, He is at work. So when your faith is at that low moment, and you're like, God, help me in my unbelief. Or all those other moments where your faith is high, and you're like, God, I know you're at work. God, I see this happening. Whatever I have, God, as imperfect as my faith is, I'm bringing it to you. I believe, God, that you hear our prayers to do miracles. So I said last week, I made a comment that our faith is not based on what God does, right? Our faith is not based on whether God heals you instantly or it looks different than we expect, but our faith is based on who God is. On the fact that God sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins. That's what my faith is based on. Nothing less, nothing more. My faith is based that Jesus came to die for my sins, to restore me to God. Our faith needs to not be based on what He's doing right now, but what He did on that cross. That's where our faith needs to be. Did He do a work on the cross? Was a work completed on the cross? A God who becomes one of us and sends His Son Jesus to shed His blood so that our sins could be forgiven. Our faith isn't based on the seeing of a miracle. Our faith is based on the character, on God's goodness, on His sacrificed Son. See, the highest purpose of Jesus coming, I said this last week, wasn't to heal our bodies, but was to save our souls, right? Says, but Scripture tells us, by His stripes we are healed. But it starts with our soul, our spirit. Everything else is a byproduct. It's an awesome byproduct, but it's a byproduct nonetheless. See, Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners, right? He came to heal our souls. Jesus, though, came for spiritual wholeness, emotional wholeness, and a physical wholeness for us to have. So the second story is Mark's Gospel, Mark 2. There's these four guys. Have you read this story before, maybe? The four buddies, right? Call them the four pals. And we'll have a little fun with this story. Because I can imagine what type of guys these are. And these guys are four buddies. And we're going to say the ringleader of this group, we're going to call him Bubba. Okay? So Bubba is the leader here. He's the ringleader. And they got a friend who's unable to walk, who's paralyzed. And so Bubba gets his three buddies together and he says, we're going to get our buddy to Jesus. And ain't nothing going to stop us. Picture my southern accent right now when I say Bubba and all that. So they drag their buddy who can't walk. We don't know how far, but from this story, it sounds like quite a ways. And Bubba's like, come on, guys, a little further. Let's go. We got to get him there. And they take Bubba takes his buddy to where Jesus is, because Jesus is having a Bible study. Jesus is having church in this house, right? But there's so many people at church, they can't get in the door. And Bubba's like, guys, let's get him up there on the roof. We're going to drop him down. So these buddies, they get up there, and they start digging a hole in the roof. And Bubba's like, guys, we're almost there. So they dig this hole in this roof, and Bubba's like, okay, guys, let's lower him down. And they get some ropes, and they lower him down, but they can't reach the ground. So what do they do? Well, Bubba looks down and says, well, it's only another 8 to 10 feet. Can't hurt that bad. He's already paralyzed. Let's drop him. So one, two, three, and they drop him. Something like that, right? But what does Jesus do? What's the first thing Jesus does? Jesus forgives his sins. That's the first thing Jesus does. The first thing that Jesus does is forgives that man's sins. Before he heals his body, he heals his sins. Because when Jesus came, his highest purpose wasn't to just heal our bodies, but to save our souls. Because like I said last week, I hate to break it to you, but someday we're all still going to die. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead once. The second time, Lazarus was on his own. Right? We're still going to die because the highest purpose isn't what happens to our body in 70, 80 years, 65 years, 75 years, 85 years. I'm not an auctioneer. That's right. But the highest purpose would be in our life that we glorify God. That's what we came, or that's what he came for. So we would glorify him. So our souls would be saved. So when I pray, I'm going to pray with every bit of faith that I have because I know that my Jesus healed my soul. And the rest is in action. He's healing whatever I've asked for. I might not see it yet, but I know it's coming. I believe. And that's what we need to do. We need to believe. We need to have that wow faith, right? But sometimes it's the mustard seed, the wow. Bringing him my imperfect faith. But we're growing that faith as it's at work to a wow faith, guys. But God just wants us to bring what faith we have, because faith moves the heart of God. So I've got a couple personal stories I want to share with you guys. A couple more personal stories. So my dad, I think I've shared before, my dad was on life support. We almost lost him. He almost died. And the doctor said, if he makes it out, if he lives, he's going to be stuck in intensive care for 8 months, 6 months, maybe a year. We don't know. If he lives. If he lives, he's probably going to lose his legs or his arms. He's probably never going to work again. And we had pastors, we had friends praying. We anointed him with oil. And we believed and we had faith. I'll tell you guys, I think it was about 7 months later, my dad was actually back to work. Miracle upon miracle. When he went into the hospital, when they airlifted him, I guess, to Edmonton from Lloyd, his kidneys were shut down, his heart had stopped, his lungs were shut down. He was on full life support. All we could do was pray because the doctors had nothing. He was black from the elbows, or just past the elbows, down to his fingertips. From his knees down to his toes. His nose was black. He was unrecognizable. And all we could do is pray the prayer of faith. And we prayed. And he was anointed with oil. And a week later, all of a sudden, machines started coming off him. Doctor said, his kidneys are working now. His lungs are working. And I remember I came home because I was off work for a week and a little bit. And because he was awake. And I remember coming home thinking, I'll work for 4 days and then I'll drive back up to Edmonton. I stayed in Edmonton for 2 weeks, sorry. But he moved out of intensive care in a week and a half in that other room in 3 or 4 days. I came home thinking I was going to work, and 2 days later, all of a sudden I get a call from my aunt. Is your dad home yet? I'm like, aunt, like, no, he just got out of intensive care at University Hospital. He's not going to be home for months upon months. Oh, I heard he was being transferred back to Lloyd. I'm like, what? No. Like, impossible. I drove to the hospital because cell phones weren't a thing back then. Drove to the hospital. And I'm like, is there a Ron Misko here? Yeah, he's in room 322. And I'm like, okay, forgive me when I say this. But I said, shut up. He is not. And she's like, yeah, he is. I'm like, okay, so I go up. And they're like, oh, we were going to call you. Surprise. I'm like, thanks. Thanks for the heads up. Like, give a guy a heads up here. And my dad was in the hospital. He was in the hospital for 2 more weeks, I think, doing like physio, and he was home in like just over a month. If he lives, he's going to get out of intensive care maybe in 7 to 8 months, maybe a year. Best case. Probably never going to go back to work again. 6 to 7 months later, he was back to work. Funniest thing I think happened there was he was at home, had a Friday off because they work a funny shift, but he was at home, had a Friday off. The University of Alberta Hospital calls. This is the University of Alberta Hospital. Is this the home of Ron Misko? My dad's like, yep. Okay. These are kind of hard questions to ask, but we have to ask, is Ron Misko still alive? And my dad says, well, I sure hope so because you're talking to him. And they're like, oh, well, sir, and then we have some more questions. These are challenging questions again. How many limbs did you lose? Nothing. Nothing. Well, no, sir, like fingers, toes, nose, like anything. I'm not just talking arms or legs. Nope, nothing. I have everything. That's impossible, sir. You were completely dead from the past the elbows down, the knees down. Nope, got everything. God did a miraculous work. Then, I shared last week how my mom was in the hospital. I don't understand why for so long, right? I don't know if you guys remember that story with her knee and stuff, and we prayed for her. I went to visit my mom this week in the hospital. She's getting surgery in a couple weeks. They're putting a new knee in. And you know what my mom said? This may sound funny too, but she said, I am so glad, because she's living in respite right now in the old folks' home. She said, I am so glad to have the opportunity to be here because this has changed my perspective. I don't have it so bad. I've never had it so bad. And she's telling me about these people she's been praying with, that she's talked to, that she's poured into them, given them a positive outlook, told them about Jesus. And she's like, I am so thankful for this. My mom isn't on painkillers anymore. Mom had a pain patch that she wore all the time. For how long? 12 years? As long as Stacy's known her, she's had to have a pain patch. My mom, before she went in the hospital, couldn't sit because of her back pain. She couldn't stand because of back pain. She couldn't lie because of back pain. She sat in an uncomfortable wheelchair for like 8 months, all day, every day. And she's like, I got no back pain. Mom has been on antibiotics for years, like since I was a kid, because of constant infection in her body. She's not on antibiotics anymore. When she'd go, you know, most of us take a suitcase because I like to overpack with my clothes. She'd overpack with pills because she was so sick. So God's done a healing work in her body. Now she just has to get the last piece put back together and get her new knee put back in. And we are trusting God and have faith that God is going to heal that knee when she gets a new knee in, that she is going to be healed, and she'll be out of that hospital within 2 weeks. Because we believe and we have faith. Now, those are some of my personal stories, and I'm sure many of you have stories. And some of them are stories where you're healed instantly. Some of them, it's over time. But we know that God is at work. We have faith that God is at work. Right? And maybe you're like, well, you know, I expect an instantaneous healing, God. I expect it to be now, God. Who are you to tell God what the timing is? There's a purpose and there's a plan, and we're going to trust in faith that the healing is going to be done. And while we're doing that, we're going to journey with Jesus, right? We're going to be an example of Jesus where we go. It doesn't look like I think the healing is going to look, but we have an opportunity to show Jesus in our life while we're being healed. My uncle, I've got stories, guys. I'm going to tell you stories. Sorry, I wasn't planning on telling this story, but I'm going to tell it. My uncle, when Stacy and I were first married, was diagnosed with cancer. He's a faith man, believes in by faith that he's healed. They give him, what, 2 months to live? 2 months to live. He was 78 years old when we buried him, because he passed away just of age. He had skin cancer, brain cancer, leukemia, a couple other ones. He was filled with cancer. They opened him up to do surgery, and they closed him up and said, we can't do surgery on you. He never saw the cancer removed from his body. My uncle didn't take a Tylenol. He should have been in pain. He should have been on pain patches. He should have been on everything. God gave him the healing through not feeling pain. Healing doesn't look like we think it's going to look. Sometimes it's miraculous and you see it like that. Sometimes it's he deals with the pain. We don't know. But we know that he is at work in our bodies and in our lives when we call upon him. One more cool story with my dad. Sorry. Because I think that stories build our faith, right? My dad, again, had cancer. I can't remember the bad one. What's this one? What did he have? It starts with a G, right? Pancreatic cancer. Bad cancer. Most people, from what I hear, when they have pancreatic cancer, don't have a real great lifespan. Dad believed. We had faith. We prayed over him. We poured oil on him. They cut him open from here to here, from here to here. Cut him open. Because he was filled with cancer. They said they were going to have to remove his pancreas, and they're not sure what type of quality of life he's going to have. We believed. We anointed with oil. They opened him up, and they're like, Let me back this up. They did this surgery within 2 weeks of finding it because they were so concerned that it was so massive. They opened him up, and then they closed him up. And they said, Ron, we couldn't remove your pancreas. It's infected all the way around there. There's like a big infection ball. And if we tried to remove it, we'd probably kill you. So we're going to close you up, and we're going to monitor and do tests. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they did that. They've never opened him up again. He goes back and gets a checkup every year just to make sure, because these doctors like to doubt. His blood sugar is now stabilized. They dealt with the infection. Still has his pancreas. And no cancer. Tumor's gone. I believe that Jesus still works and does miracles today. I hope these stories build your faith. Because that's what I'm sharing them. They're not like, oh, look what happened with us. And guys, here's the other side of it. We're not playing what's the game with the dice. Craps? Is that the game? In Vegas? Craps? We're not playing craps, and we're not rolling the dice and saying, well, maybe I'm the one that's going to get healed. Oh, I hope I'm lucky. Lucky, whatever, 7 or 11. Jesus will heal us each and every step of the way, each time. Each and every one of us have an opportunity to be healed. Last week I talked about two things. So either it doesn't, align with his plan. Well, his plan is to make us whole. We don't know what that looks like, but we believe by faith that he's making us whole. Right? Second thing, when we test God. So if we say, God, just heal me. Show me that you're real. Show me that you love me, God, by healing me. Wrong type of prayer to pray. God, I love you. Have your way in my life. Father, heal me. That's all we need. So we're going to do today like they did say in Scripture. We're going to anoint you with oil. If you're sick, if you're going to stand in the gap for someone who's sick, we're going to anoint you with oil. And we're going to pray with you. And we're going to believe that God is going to do a supernatural miracle in your life. You may not see it like that. Okay? Never said that. You're not going to see it like that always. Some of you might. Some of you may get blown away and you may see it like that. But we're going to have faith that God is at work. Just like that seed that's planted in the ground, we're going to have faith that God is at work. Just like my uncle that we prayed and believed that he was going to be healed of cancer. The cancer never left. He still lived with it. But he lived much longer than 2 months, didn't he? 14 years with the disease. Never had pain in a cancer that he should have been filled with pain. He never even had to take a Tylenol. Who have you heard with brain cancer that doesn't have to take Tylenol? A few people, but I know that Jesus was at work in their life, guys. We have faith that Jesus can do it. I completely sidetracked myself. Jesus tells us all we need is mustard seed faith. Right? And we can move a mountain. We can see the mountain moved. We can see the mountain moved in our life. All we need is mustard seed faith. So I'm going to ask this of you guys. If you're sick, if you know somebody that's sick and you have their permission to stand in the gap and come up and be prayed for with them, because we can't just anoint you with oil if you're standing in the gap for somebody that you've never asked if you can be prayed for and do it for them. Well, you need authority and permission over their lives to do it. But we're going to take authority over these sicknesses and we're going to anoint with oil. So I'm going to invite you up. If you have a sickness, if you have a disease, if you have something, if it's mental, if it's anything, and we're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray together as a church and believe by faith that Jesus is at work in your life. You may see it today, you may see it 2 years from now, but we know that he is at work, just like the seed that we plant in the ground. So come on up if you want to be prayed for, and I'm willing to pray with you. And if you don't want to be prayed for, that's fine. You can sit there, and we can just let you go about your business.
I have to ask you something. No, I just wanted to ask you, can I be
Yep. Yep. And guys, if you're not coming up, I'm going to ask that you stand up and you believe by faith and you raise your hand out for these folks that are up here. We don't always know what it's going to look like, but we know it's going to happen. Come on, let's make a line up here. Let's just stretch out from here as far as we can, and everybody's in one row. And we're going to believe together as a church. Father God, we come before you, God, right now. And God, we lift your name on high. Jesus, you are the great physician. We trust you. We honor you, God. We give you all praise and glory. All praise and glory to your name, Jesus. And Father, right now, you see these people that are standing here, God, asking for healing or standing in the gap for somebody in their family, Father. And we are going to do as you called, and we are going to anoint with oil. So God, right now, we pray that you would just bless Thelma, Father. God, heal her. Touch her, God. Pour your blood upon her body, God, and just heal her, because by your stripes we are healed, and we believe that, Father. And Jesus, right now we ask that you would just touch her in a miraculous and new way. Father God, we praise you and thank you. As you've touched Kat, God, and you continue to heal her, Father, touch her, God, and if she's just whatever way she needs, God. Father, I pray that you would just encourage her, build her up, lift her up, and wash over her anew. Father God, we pray for healing. God, we pray for anointing. We pray for blessing. God, we pray for restored souls and lives, Father. We pray that there will be an impact. Father, we pray and thank you for the healing and the work that you're already doing. And God, we just continue to lift you up. Lift your name up on high. You are the healer. God, we trust you. We know you have a plan and a purpose, and that you bring healing and life. God, you are a God of life and light, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the healing. Father, I pray right now, God, as Erla stands in the gap, God, that you would just wash your healing power upon those that she's standing in the gap for, God. You know what is being done and what needs to happen, and we just stand there, God, in awe of your goodness. You are a good God. You are a healing God, and we thank you for that. God, we pray for Tim right now, Father, that your hand would be upon him. Touch him anew. Father, make him whole. God, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for your life. We thank you that you love us so much and that you have a plan for us. And God, we thank you for Mel. Build him up, Father. Build his faith, God. Faith the size of a mustard seed is all we need, God. Be at work in his life and in his body. Wholeness and healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We pray for healing and health and restoration. We pray for strength. Father, we thank you that you are at work. God, we thank you that you are at work. God, build our faith and allow us to look fully on you. Jesus, you see these needs represented up at the front of the room today, God. And God, we praise you and thank you that you are at work in lives. You are still a miracle working God, and we thank you for that, and we believe. We have faith that you will move these mountains. So God, right now, we give it to you. We praise you and thank you for the healing work that is being done, the restoration and the restorative work that you have done and you are continuing to do right now in all of our lives. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Amen. Amen.